Hello, I'm your host, Gemma Hulbert, and welcome to the Yacht Stew Podcast. This space is entirely dedicated to authentic conversations about life at sea. Through thoughtful chats and real experiences, I talk with some of the most insightful men and women in the yachting industry. No questions off the table as we dive into the wonderful and absurd world of stewardesses. Before starting today's episode, I wanted to share with all of you a really exciting partnership between The Yacht Stew and Salacia Yachting. Together, we have created and are launching the first admin-focused Chief Stewardess course. We cover everything from worklists to hiring with loads of downloadables and videos to make it as easy to follow as possible. The course is fully online, you can work at your own pace, and you will have lifetime access. If you are interested, head over to www.theyachtstew.com/courses to learn more and be one of the first to sign up. Welcome back to another episode of the Yacht Stew Podcast. Today, I have my good friend, Chelsea Haynes, joining us from the States. So Chelsea, welcome to the podcast.
Gemma, thank you so much. It is so synchronistic and beautiful to be here with you.
Oh, it's going to be a great chat. Chelsea and I think we first kind of got in touch. We were both interviewed for an article with CNN.
Yes, we were.
I think 2 years ago now, actually. I think so too. And just kind of through that article, we have this kind of funny bond of going through that whirlwind that comes when you are part of something that's national and actually international. Yep. And then following that, I've just been so in awe of your journey from being, you know, the yogi yachty on boats to moving to being a health coach and really just impacting the lives of hundreds, thousands of women and men, I should say. And when reaching out to you about coming on the podcast, I was like, okay, what has it that Chelsea's done that's really affected my life that could help others? And a few weeks ago, you shared online about sleep anxiety. And I remember telling you, I screenshot everything you put in your stories because I was like, just in case they disappear. And it's just really changed the way I've kind of viewed sleep. And I just think it's a really amazing conversation. So today we're going to talk about sleep anxiety. So let's start off with, what would you define sleep anxiety and how has that kind of played a role in, you know, how you're helping your clients and your business?
Definitely. Well, Gemma, first off, thank you so, so much for that beautiful little intro there. I really appreciate it. And yes, it's been a really fun journey from the yogi yachty to the Chelsea Haynes and really what that exit strategy looked like for me. And I'm so grateful and appreciative just to hear that the work that I feel so passionate about is truly helping people, because that's really what it is all about. So sleep anxiety for me, it's as soon as I think about the definition, I just go to that moment where I'm laying in bed and staring at the ceiling and just the clock is ticking. And it's sort of that, like, the world is like collapsing in and you can hear the sound of the clock ticking and your brain starts to get to that place of worry, right? That anxiousness of, I can't sleep and now I'm really wired. And now when I wake up in the morning, no matter what I do, I'm going to be tired, which means I'm not going to be able to fulfill what I want to fulfill tomorrow. And then our spiral starts, keeps going down and down. And then we work ourselves up to a point where now we just can't sleep at all. So yeah, sleep anxiety is really that anxiety about not being able to sleep, which then feeds the inability to sleep.
It's a vicious, vicious circle.
Yes, it is. And I would venture to say most of our listeners here are somehow involved in the yachting community. And I think we can all relate, no matter if you're in yachting or not, to that feeling of not being able to sleep. And I think especially on yachts, when we have boss trips and we are on charter, we, as it is, have very limited rest anyway. And then when we lay down and just have this like struggle to be able to fall asleep as on top of it all, it just adds to the anxiety that we're already feeling.
It's an unneeded pressure, I think, of, you know, every morning, the first thing people ask you is, oh, how did you sleep? And it's like, if you had the worst sleep, A, you don't want to be reminded of it. It's such a habit though, isn't it? It's something that we're so used to doing is, oh, how did you sleep? It's the first thing we think of. And I actually had an owner And on my very first trip, I was on breakfast and I was like, oh, good morning, sir. How did you sleep? He's like, I don't sleep well. Never ask how I sleep. And I was like, oh, fair. And then I never asked again. But I do think you're reminded of it, aren't you? First thing in the morning by your colleagues of probably the awful night that you just had of tossing and turning.
Yes, I just got goosebumps. I had never even thought about that before. And it's so true. I mean, my mom and I here, I'm staying at my mom's right now while my husband is overseas running a boat. And first thing in the morning, good morning, how'd you sleep? You know, it's sort of like small talk or like, oh, look at, it's sunny out. You know, it's like, what else do you talk about before you have that morning cup of coffee, right? Or cup of tea. And it brings up the conversation of grief for me. It's sort of like, there's good intention behind it. And the intention is maybe inquisitive or wanting to start conversation or wanting to connect with the person that you're talking to. And I think oftentimes this happens in conversations with someone who is grieving, and it's oftentimes delivered in a way that the intention is good, but we end up creating a divide or we end up shining a light on the stress that we're going to without just naming it or calling it out. So I think this is maybe one of the first points that I would like to share in regards to sleep anxiety is that I think just talking about it openly can be really helpful. So I think in a trusted situation, and it goes the same thing for grief conversations as well, you know, in a trusted conversation with someone that you love and adore, if someone were to ask you, how did you sleep? Just being really honest about it, I think can help ease the anxiety about it. And I think oftentimes when we allow ourselves to just speak candidly and openly, that is actually, and vulnerably, that is actually the way that we start to heal and start to soothe the pain that we're experiencing. And Brené Brown, I think her name probably comes up on almost every single podcast that I record because she is just one of my favorite leaders in, I guess I would categorize it as a self-development industry. And she has dedicated her life to the study of vulnerability and shame. And I love what you said about when the topic comes up, when we didn't have a good night's sleep, now not only are we reminded of the crappy night's sleep that we had the night before, but we almost feel a sense of shame like we have failed, right? Mm-hmm. We have failed at something. It's like, nah, you had one job and that was to sleep and you didn't sleep.
And it's a gift as well, I think, sometimes. Yes. You know, you view it on charter as, oh my gosh, I got given 9 hours last night and I couldn't even sleep. Like, what's wrong with me? I should have just gotten back up and helped the girls out or whatever the case may be. You do view it as letting sometimes other people down when you're like, great, I'm going to be tired and let the team down, even though I got 9 hours. So I should have had enough.
And that we start shooting all over ourselves, right? Shoulda, coulda, woulda. I should have done this. I should have done that. And that feeds that anxiety.
Absolutely. So when you're in that place of laying there, tossing, turning, I mean, I swear, I think my brain goes up about 10 notches as soon as the lights get turned off at night.
Yes.
How have you found tackling it? What can you do in your life that you that's worked for you that would maybe work for someone else? I know I struggle with sleep really badly. I'm just curious if you have any tips.
Yes, I have a lot of tips. So, and of course, too, now as a health coach, my primary focus is gut health and gut healing because our GI tract and our gut truly is our second brain. And in fact, it's even so connected. The gut and the brain are so connected through the vagus nerve. The gut-brain axis is actually one and the same. So it's even been said that actually our gut is, I mean, obviously the brain in our head is, it gives us our cognition, but the brain in our stomach gives us everything else. Our hormones reside in our gut. Things like serotonin and other neurotransmitters like dopamine are primarily produced in our gut. So gut health is really, if we are struggling with anxiety in general, if we can start implementing lifestyle shifts and practices to help heal our gut and really optimize our gut health and our digestive system, then we can start digesting our food. We can start digesting our life. We're having daily bowel movements, which is a huge piece of it. And one of the biggest things I think about gut health that feels confusing for people is that it's so not, yes, food is important. Food is medicine, but that is just one tiny little piece of the bigger pie of the gut healing scenario. And sleep is actually one of the top first things that I work with my clients, because when we sleep, we are healing and we are detoxing. So it's really important to know that actually when you go to sleep, if we can start implementing practices for our brain to quiet down, it allows our body to do what it does best. So I think oftentimes when we sleep, we think, oh, well, my body just shuts down and that's it. But actually when we're sleeping, there's so many processes that are happening while we sleep that are imperative for our digestive well-being, which is imperative for our overall well-being. So I think it's helpful to know that scientifically when you sleep, your body doesn't shut down. In fact, it's the opposite. Our liver, our GI tract, our gallbladder, everything that's happening in our gut and our stomach kind of like goes into gear. And naturally we start to detox and we heal overnight. So if we're not giving ourselves that opportunity to really fall into a deep sleep, we're really not giving our body the opportunity to heal, which is really detrimental. So I think it's sort of like freeing of the mind, knowing that like, okay, I have a job while I'm sleeping, and that is to heal and to detox. So if anything, it's important for me to learn how to quiet my brain so that way I can hold that space for my body to heal and detox, right? It's not just like this time of your life that's wasted, and rest is actually very productive. So I think before I even get to like the actual tips of how to start quieting your mind, it's important to know that rest is productive because especially as high producers, as high performers, we live in a go, go, go society that just kind of continues to feed that grind mindset. And then of course, as a being in yachting, which is also that go, 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 like don't stop, always be on your feet. I think it can be a mindset shift and a paradigm shift to really understand and believe and know that there's science behind rest is productive. And it's not just because, oh, well, obviously if I sleep well, then I'll wake up and I'll be more rested and I'll be able to be more productive the next day. But actually while you're sleeping, your body is busy doing stuff. So that's an important paradigm shift. I think that's especially for us, like A-type personalities and leaders and go-getters, like, no, sleep is it's important. So, and things are happening. So in order to set ourselves up for success, it goes with anything. And same with my programs that I work with my clients, like we don't even get into the nitty gritty of doing the work until we've created a container to set ourselves up for success. So what I mean by this is a good morning routine starts the night before and a good sleep starts a few hours before in what I call a wind down routine. So let me ask you, Gemma, I'm sure at the end of the day, you have somewhat of a routine where maybe you wash your face or you brush your teeth, or sometimes if you're like too tired, maybe you just hop in bed and kind of forget some of those things. Or do you have a few things on your list that you just naturally do before you go to bed?
I would say like 99% of the time, always wash my face, brush my teeth, change. And then I usually, it's bad, but I lay in bed and I will reply to my emails, which I know is not ideal, but I do. And then Ben and I often watch something in bed together before falling asleep. So there is a lot of screen time going on before bed, which I don't think helps at all. And I know the other night I was saying to you a few nights ago, I was up till 5 o'clock in the morning, which was great. But I worked that night until 1 a.m. I had lots to get done. I worked till 1, and then I literally shut my computer because I'd already washed my face hours prior, shut my computer, went straight to bed, and I just lay there buzzing because I did not give myself any time to unwind.
So a little science behind that as well. So many exciting things coming forward. Number one, I think it's important to know that we operate differently as people. So some people actually are night people. And there's actually a quiz that you can take. It's not like an Enneagram type. It's another one that, well, there's two in particular that I would recommend doing. Number one, definitely figure out your human design. Based on your human design, you will start learning your energy types. And that's a whole different conversation. You can go to I think it's Jovian Archives or another girl, Jenna Zoe on Instagram. She's got a great website, myhumandesign.com. This is just like a total random plug, but that will help you find out your energy types. So I think learning about ourselves can be so helpful when it comes to sleep and understanding our energy types. And then there's another one that I'm sorry, I'm missing the name of it. I'll try to look it up and find it to you so you can offer it to your listeners here, but it tells you what kind of sleep patterns are best for you. And I am a projector by human design and I'm a bear by whatever this quiz is. And my ideal times are literally like 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. or something like that. I used to be really hard on myself about like, man, I just can't wake up before 8 a.m. Like it doesn't work for me. And I used to really stress out about that. And I need 10 hours of sleep a night almost every single night. Like, is something wrong with me? But once I learned that actually, like as a projector, I don't have this built-in motor for energy, it kind of gave me that freedom to be like, you know what? I'm going to unlearn everything I've ever learned about sleep. That, you know, you need 7 to 8 hours a night. Some people only need 6 and they thrive on that. So I think learning your own unique patterns is so important, and then feeling empowered to just own that can be game changing. So that's like the little first check on the list of what you just said. Secondly, I want to celebrate you, Gemma, because you do have a wind down routine. And I think often we forget that the little things like washing our face and brushing our teeth and putting our pajamas on, now we are triggering our brain. Okay, it's time to start winding down. And what I like to do, a concrete tip that anyone can take away from this is, okay, if I know my ideal time to go to bed is say 10 p.m., that means I have to be in bed at 9:30 reading a book or unplugged, because a little science behind the retina. In another life of mine, I worked for a retina specialist. This was before I became a yoga teacher. And before I got into yachting, and I learned that the retina, literally in the back of our eye, is what stimulates the optic nerve, and it actually sends messages to the brain of either wake up or go to sleep. So I'm sure you can relate to that feeling of in the morning when you wake up. I have the habit right now, and I'm working to shift it, but it works for me right now, and it's okay. When I wake up, the first thing I do is look on my phone. Now, I try to look at my phone and set a guided meditation first. So at least I look at my phone and I'm setting a guided meditation first. So it kind of triggers my brain to wake up. But the blue screen of our phones are designed and wired to keep us addicted. Like, these little machines are formulated to keep us attached to it. I actually even learned recently, like, you know, when you pull down on any screen to refresh, that was actually designed based on the pull down action of gamblers and people that have gambling addictions.
What? Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes. So the addiction that we have to our phones is not just because someone might have poor habits or boundaries with their phones. It's an actual, like, this thing is designed, hardwired for us to be stuck to it. So screen time at night is definitely, if sleep is important to you, which it should be for everyone, it has to be managed in a way that at a certain time at night, it's a non-negotiable unplug. Now, if that's not an option for you, so a general rule is when the sun goes down, unplug. But of course, there's certain attachments and things that we have to do when it comes to our screen, especially as a chief stew on board. You know, there's only certain times of day where we have quiet time and alone time to be able to check our emails and to follow up with things that are important to us, like our families, and also to have quality time with our partner, right? That's another big thing, especially on board where you don't have much quality time. Even if it's a roommate in the room and you're trying to bond with your roommate, like, watching a movie together is just such a nice way to be able to start to unwind your mind and also kind of have that bond with your partner. So what I'm trying to say here is it doesn't have to be either or, but there are ways that you can support your best sleep. And it's definitely scientifically shown that screen time after dark will inhibit the production of melatonin. And melatonin is what we need. Our body naturally produces it in order to start falling asleep. So reverse engineer what time you want to go to bed and work backwards from there. So if I want to get in all of the things that I need to get done before I sleep, so maybe if your mind is really busy, it could be helpful to write a list of everything that you want to do for the next day. And rather than feeling like you have to do it all right now, you set your alarm and you wake up in the morning and you try to carve out space for those things to get done. You want to make sure that if I have to be in bed at 9:30 at night, that means maybe I need 2 hours for my wind down routine. I need an hour to check my emails and watch a 20-minute show. I need, 20 minutes to wash my face and brush my teeth. And then I want another 20 minutes to like put my pajamas on and take a hot shower or whatever it is. So reverse engineer. So then you know you have a certain time at night that is the cutoff. You say, okay, if I want to be in bed by 9:30, that means by 7:30 at night, I need to be like winding up my emails, my shows, whatever. That means by 8:30 at night, I'm unplugged. And that's a non-negotiable. So I think learning boundaries within certain habits in our lives, and I'm being gentle in saying it because there's no shame in anything that anyone is doing right now. You're doing these things because for whatever reason, you learned them as coping skills to manage whatever stress that we're managing in life. I think that's really important to know. So for example, checking the email at night, it's like, well, this helps me wind down. This helps me take away my brain from the busyness of the day. This helps me get ahead for the next day, right? The brain has learned this as a habit, as a coping mechanism, or as a tool to, in theory, set ourselves up for success the next day. But inevitably what's happening is we're not setting ourselves up for sleep. And we know that sleep is so, like, number one important, besides drinking enough water.
Something that I was just thinking of as you were speaking is I check my emails right before I go to bed when I am on charter, and, you know, I get those 2 minutes to run down and go to the bathroom. I will literally check my email on the phone down. And it just seems to me like when I'm falling asleep or when I'm first waking up, in those moments, what can I actually do that is really going to be that productive on my emails? Let's be honest. Exactly. I might have like 15 junk emails, maybe 4 or 5 that I have to reply to, but they're not going to expect to reply at 11 o'clock at night. And if I check it when I first wake up in the morning, and I do this on Instagram as well, and I'll be the first to admit it, I often miss messages because I'll read them first thing and I go, okay, great, I'm going to reply to that. I just need to get up, shower. And by that point, I have a few more and I'm chatting to a few girls and I think, oh, I don't know if I ever go back to that person. Yes. And I really think I need to be more aware of when I am more alert and awake, because I'm actually missing out on opportunities to connect with people because I'm so in this mindset of wake up, check my phone, walk down the stairs, check my phone, do this. And it's not, I think, giving it the time that you should of really allowing that connection.
It's just gave me goosebumps because this is such a pivotal piece of coaching around subconscious habits. And I think just understanding the deeper lying intention behind it. So I'm sure when you're checking your emails, the intention is to, well, you tell me, what might be the intention behind that incessant need to check your emails?
I can't even explain it, if I'm being honest. I actually do get panicky if I don't have my phone close by, because I'm like, oh my gosh, what if I get an email? Well, so what if I get an email? I'm still going to be able to read it in 20 minutes time. And it drives Ben nuts because we'll lay in bed, we'll have 45 minutes together after a busy day, and we'll watch, you know, we're addicted to Grey's Anatomy. And yes, we'll watch Grey's Anatomy. And he's like, can you please stop checking your emails or replying to messages? They're going to be there tomorrow. And I do think that we just have this really crazy mindset now that if you don't reply instantly, that it almost takes away from your reply. When in actual fact, if you sat down and dedicated more time to it, you would give so much more value.
Exactly. And I would venture to say the good intention is probably something like, well, I want to stay on top of things and I have so many other things to do. So this is the one thing that I do have in my control at all times. So if I can stay on top of it, then I know that I'm on top of it. And it's sort of like checking some imaginary to-do list of your subconscious mind. But like you said, in reality, for example, if I receive an email from somebody at 11 o'clock at night, I can see the timestamp on that. So it automatically, in the back of my mind, as the receiver of that email, the first thing I think about is not, oh, this person's really on top of their shit, right? As a gut health coach, I talk a lot of poop and crap and shit. It's just but in reality, I look at that and I think, ooh, that person probably doesn't have a super healthy relationship with boundaries around emails and in general, because the way we do one thing is the way we do everything. So, and I think sometimes we hear the word boundaries and we think of walls. So we think, ooh, if I'm not always available to this person, they are going to not like me. Or they're going to think, for example, like you said, that it's going to take away from my response, right? When in reality, the opposite is true, because when I can pause, you know, I set my emails, respond at from this time to this time, I'm giving my all. I'm giving 1000%. I'm giving my full heart instead of this like half-ass, oh, I'm available on here, but it's actually, I'm half asleep and I'm exhausted. I don't even really want to talk to you right now anyway. I'm just doing it because I feel like I have to, right? Yeah. Whereas if I just allowed myself to implement that non-negotiable for myself, then I can show up more fully. So this is attaching to your why, right? It's really important to understand why it feels important to unplug at a certain time at night. Because this is where, like I always say as a coach, it's not about the doing, right? So in this case, the doing would be, oh, Gemma, you have to unplug at 9 p.m., right? Okay, sure. But then I start to feel like, oh, and if I don't do it again, I start to feel failure. And it starts to feel like I'm depriving myself of this thing that I feel attached to. It's more about the being. So I say, Jen, who are you being at 9 p.m. at night? And are you being your best self to be able to respond to that email right now? Well, probably not. Exactly. So in that moment, who would you rather be in that moment? Well, I would rather be present with my husband. I would rather be shut down. I would rather be calm and getting ready to prepare myself for sleep. Beautiful. So what's stopping you from doing that? Well, what's stopping me from doing that is the desire to be accepted and to get approval from all these people that I'm working for and working with. Perfect. So what is the better alternative? So that's like a little bit of like mini laser coaching, what that looks like right there. But for anyone who's trying to change your habits, it's that same mindset. It's that deprivation mindset, right? How can I be my best self? And actually, what are my desires? Because I think often we've learned that desires are bad. And at the end of the day, we all desire to sleep. We know that because we have this underlying anxiety about not being able to sleep. So I think shifting it back to the sleep anxiety itself, what can that sleep anxiety teach me right now? So I think oftentimes we want to numb out from the anxiety. We want to ignore it. We want to not admit that it's happening. You know, we want to be able to wake up and just be like fresh faced and bushy tailed, which, side note, this was so funny on Charter for years. For anyone listening to this, it was squirrel face. The intention was we want to be bright eyed and bushy tailed like a squirrel, but we were actually just like these wired squirrels that were just like all jacked up on caffeine, right?
That's brilliant.
Right. But what can we learn from that anxiety? And actually, in that moment, when we are feeling sleep anxiety, I think it's important to invite it in and to call it out. I mean, we all have that inner voice, right? One of my clients calls her Britney bitch. Another of my clients calls her the white witch. You know, it's like we all have that inner voice inside of us that is constantly trying to nag us or speak down to us. But even her, even she has, or it, whatever you want to call it, even they have a positive intention for us. And in that moment of anxiety where that inner voice is saying, oh, you have to sleep, you have to sleep, you have to sleep. Okay, what is my body trying to learn from this? What is the, obviously the grandiose message right now is you have to sleep, but I would venture to say maybe there's an underlying desire behind it. Like maybe I actually just want to set up better boundaries with my phone and my coworkers and all these other people, or maybe I just want to leave this job, or maybe I'm like just not happy. Like, what is the underlying desire behind this anxiety? So let me give you a couple tips right now for like in that moment. And for anyone listening to this, if you really struggle with sleep anxiety, like reach out to Gemma or myself on Instagram. Like we can both help. You know, I can definitely help you with some of these strategies and some of the laser coaching like behind the anxiety, right? But for that moment when you're laying in bed staring at the ceiling, definitely we've already implemented our nighttime routine, right? So maybe we've started already working on unplugging at a certain time. Turning our phone on airplane mode is a non-negotiable at a certain time, because not only do we not want to be tempted to look at it, but also like the electromagnetic frequencies that these things give out and inevitably are charging right next to us are just not good for us. They're just not. Now, some people would maybe disagree with that. I feel like when that thing is next to my head, I just feel like long-term it's in my pocket. It's in my bra. It's like, you know, it's always on my person. Airplane mode is a great way just to shut it all down. So that is one really great actionable step. Now, if airplane mode feels scary and not possible, you can also on most smartphones set nighttime mode. So it's going to change the color of the screen, and it's also going to set a do not disturb. Now, on an iPhone, what I love about this, especially for anyone on Charter who might be on call, the do not disturb, you can set favorites in your list of contacts, and it will override the do not disturb for that list of favorites. So say, for example, oh, you know, the boss calls my cell phone at all times at night and I do have to be available. Okay, so how can we implement a boundary but still be accessible for your job that you have to? So I think knowing those settings on a smartphone can be really helpful because it kind of eases some of that, like, oh, but what if? I would encourage you to lean into that feeling again of definitely boundaries with your phone, definitely a wind down routine, and reverse engineer from what time you would like to be asleep at. So say we've done all those things, but we're still laying in bed and we can't fall asleep. This is where I go to my backup tricks. Now, we have to override some of our first rules, and that's to put the phone back on. But there is an amazing free app called Insight Timer. This is literally a total free plug. I just love it because it's free. They have millions of guided meditations on there. They do have nighttime stories, which I think are great if your mind is like really wired. And this is what I call it's the same thing in yoga. It's the same thing in learning how to meditate and quieting the mind. Giving the monkey mind a banana will always help it to quiet down. You have to give it something to chew on. Otherwise, it's just going to chitter, chatter, chitter, chatter. So there's nighttime stories, bedtime stories that I love, and they're designed to attract your mind and then slowly ease it into sleep. Another one that I really love is Selvaggio frequencies. So if you have Spotify, I think I have a public playlist on there of Selvaggio frequencies. You can also find me on Insight Timer. They have groups. My group is called Let's Start Health. It's the same as my podcast. And I share all of like the bedtime stories that I like and all the Selvaggio frequencies and guided meditations that I really like. So this one that I particularly love, it's an hour and a half long. It's a Selvaggio frequency that's in 528 hertz. This is for deep DNA and cellular regeneration. So I know that while I'm sleeping, my body is regenerating, healing, and detoxing fundamentally. So if I can play something that is helping me to do those things more efficiently, it's kind of like, now I've just checked off that like go-getter high performer in the back of my mind. That's like, ooh, at least I can be productive while I sleep. And Selvaggio frequencies, again, are designed to help your brain go into delta state. And as I'm saying that, I want to say that's correct. So we are oftentimes in alpha or theta state, and I believe we need to be in delta state to be asleep. Now, I could be confusing that, but I think that's correct. So by helping our brain shift from those more active alpha wavelengths to a more sleep-like delta wavelengths, that's what these frequencies are designed to do.
That's so interesting. The first time I heard about them was on your Instagram, and I was doing some research, and honestly, there's so much jargon out there about them that I think you've just totally simplified it completely. Yes. And it now makes total sense. I mean, Why wouldn't you give it a go if you just can't shut your head off and your mind off? Why wouldn't you try it?
Exactly. And even on Insight Timer, when you go to hit play, there's a little moon icon that you can click. So when the meditation is done, it shuts off the app and your phone goes to sleep. That for me, that particular one has been, it's to a point now where I think my brain has associated sleep with those sounds. So within a few minutes, I'm asleep. Even if I'm in a really anxious state even, which I feel grateful because I've over the years have been able to implement these practices. And I think this is the other thing that's important to know is that it could take time, and that's okay. So like, where can you bring a little bit more grace and compassion into your experience? And I think this is where it's helpful to be able to digest some of these things with someone like a mentor or a friend or a health coach or a pastor or a therapist, because being able to really just talk about like the underlying current, again, who am I being on a deeper rooted level? Am I being anxious all the time? And how can I start to implement lifestyle practices to bring me down to a state of being calm and being graceful with myself and being deeply self-loving, even in those moments where I'm maybe being in a state that's undesirable and feeling anxious and about not being able to sleep.
Absolutely. I think that's so right. I don't think it's something that you should deal with alone either, because I think if we speak about it a little more and just through dialogues like this, you can have some more communication and conversations about what you said at the beginning was so right, that we idolize people, I think, especially yes. female entrepreneurs who are go, go, go. And it's yes. that girl doesn't sleep. She's always on top of it. She's such a boss. Yes. She does this, she does that. At some point you are going to burn out. So surely yes. it's better to do the gradual work every day, but have a really good mindset about it, have the boundaries, like you were saying, but then have the boundaries of sleeping. And I just think it's what people think is successful is perhaps mm-hmm. a little backwards, because surely for our bodies, it's just not yeah. attainable.
One of the first things that I do, and I actually have a webinar that I plan on hopefully offering for free here in the next few weeks. And that's, it's, you know, how to maintain health and be a successful entrepreneur, right? And number one is defining what that success looks like for you, because you're exactly right. I think we idolize the people that can just go, 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 because that is what has been defined as success. So for me as an entrepreneur, it's been a lot of unlearning all of that BS and saying, okay, success for me actually looks like waking up when I want to wake up, having client calls on my terms when I want them to be, being able to pay my bills and have a little extra money on the side to travel and to go out to eat. Like, that's what success looks like for me. So yes, hitting those big benchmarks, hitting those goals, all of those things are very important for me. But if I don't define them for myself first, then it's just going to be this hodgepodge of, oh my gosh, I have to, I should, I'm going to start shooting all over myself again. I should do this. I should wake up earlier. I should make myself more available. I should be up till whatever time at night. And I think this is where knowing thyself, right? Know thyself is a very important piece of this self-reflection. Like, again, learning your human design, learning your energy levels, it just kind of gives you that like open space to feel empowered and own your own habits and own your own energy levels. And to say, you know what? I will never be the boss babe that wakes up at 4 a.m. and meditates and does all those things and goes for a 5K run. And I'm a pretty awesome boss babe. I'm not going to lie, right?
Absolutely.
But that doesn't work for me. So really unlearning that and allowing myself to set my schedule up to success. Again, setting yourself up for success. This is like before we even get to the nitty gritty of the quote unquote doing, we have to set ourselves up for success. So what does that mean? Defining that success for you, defining and learning and owning my own energy levels and saying, you know what? Again, I sleep till 8 a.m. every day and that really works for me. It really works for me. And I'm okay with that. And like you said, I think vulnerably sharing it, and I never like cross that T and dot that I. Brené Brown talks about vulnerability. And when we share vulnerably, shame cannot exist, period. And I think that shame and that feeling of I have to do more is what feeds that anxiety. It's what feeds the anxiety. And once we can start to unlearn what we have learned about, gosh, everything in our life in this day and age that we live in, and allow ourselves to own our own processes in an empowered way, that is when everything starts to change. And that is when we find equilibrium in our body. And that's when we find that we start to have daily bowel movements. And that's when we find that we release the excess inflammation in our body and we actually feel good in our body again. And our skin starts to clear up again. And we wake up feeling refreshed and like excited for the day. So what can I do to set myself up for more success tomorrow to be able to sleep longer than I did tonight? Mm. In the meantime, I'm just going to know that my body is doing what it has to do.
Absolutely.
And people respect you for it. That's the other thing. Like, I think we have this BS belief that people are going to think poorly of us if we honor ourselves. But at the end of the day, if I see a friend who texts me and says, Chelsea, I'm so sorry, I have to cancel tonight. My self-care is number one and I'm exhausted and I didn't sleep well a couple nights in a row. Can we reschedule? I'd be like, hell yes, girlfriend. Like, you do you and let's reschedule and do this on the other side. I'm so proud of you for implementing that boundary.
Well, thank you so much. I just feel like we kind of had like an hour like coaching session almost. That was so insightful. And I'm ready for a really good sleep tonight. I don't know about you, but you just bring so much value. So thank you. I so appreciate it. And everything that you've mentioned, I will add to the show notes below. And I know you also have quite an exciting gut health cleanse coming up.
Yeah.
So I would love if you could share a little bit about that before you go.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share. This is like my baby. This program was what I first launched my coaching business with back in January 2019, and it is a 4-week comprehensive coaching program. It will be shifting in 2021 to a 3-month group program, but as it lies right now, this will be the last opportunity for the container as it lies at the price that it is. And it is 4 weeks to, again, setting yourself up for success in the first week. Then we have 2 weeks where we undergo an inflammation elimination protocol. So again, it's not a fad diet. It is not a quick fix. Well, the way I look at it now is it's a jumping pad. It's like the diving board to jumpstarting your journey to optimized gut health. With then the intention of the last week is we reintroduce the foods one by one to see if any of the top sensitive 7 foods are causing more inflammation. Or so interesting, because if we now give ourselves an opportunity again to heal and naturally detox, it's a super, super gentle opportunity to detox toxins and release any excess inflammation in the body in a very gentle way. It is not depriving. You will not be hungry. It's not calorie restricting. I always say we count chemicals and not calories. It's basically a 4-week healing container to optimize our gut, be able to really set that intention to say, okay, for the next 4 weeks, I am going to up-level my sleep routine, my self-care, the foods that I put in my body. And I'm going to do it with the support of a health coach and an amazing group of people who are going through it with me. So on August 24th, I will open pre-launch pricing, which will be discounted for the week. And then on August 31st will be launch week. So it'll be full price at $497 for the 4 weeks. And then we start prep week on September 8th. So I would love to gift all of your listeners here, whoever is here, no matter what it is, as long as it's before September 8th, sign up via, well, actually the best way to do it is probably just to send me a direct message on Instagram at the Chelsea Haynes, and I will be happy to offer you the pre-launch pricing, which is 10% off the $497.
Awesome. Well, thank you. That is so kind. Yes. And you guys, seriously, get on top of it. A few years ago, I had some really, really bad knee issues. I struggled to get up and down the stairs during service. The captain and chief officer would actually have to carry plates in the galley to the bridge deck so I could take it out to the guests. And I saw a naturopath, and this was long before I knew Chelsea, but it turned out I was allergic to eggs. And within 2 weeks of cutting them out, I was absolutely fine and I could do stairs again. And it blew my mind that for months I was in all this pain. So there is science behind this. It is serious.
And eggs is one of the sensitive 7 food groups that we eliminate. And I think it's important to know that we reintroduce them. So there can be like some emotional responses to like, oh my God, I have to eliminate all these things, but don't worry. It's just a healing container and they will be back in your life to see how you react, right? And I think it's also important, especially if most of the listeners here are either currently on a boat or looking to get back on a boat. Many of my clients are yacht stews. Many of them have done this program on charter, in a shipyard period. It is 1000% possible. And I have all of the life hacks and tips and tricks to be able to make it easy for you, even on board, when I know that your food is primarily being prepared for you. But I have all the tips and tricks to be able to navigate it in a way that feels supported and easy. So it 1000% is possible.
Amazing. Oh, I love that encouragement. Well, yes. Chelsea, again, thank you so much. I am just so excited to see where your business is going to grow, and it's going to explode. It's going to be incredible. And I will actually be on Chelsea's podcast soon. So we're super excited to share that.
Yes, we have big news to share. I'm so excited to have you as well, to hand the microphone over and let you have your time. So stay tuned for that.
I know, it's an exciting time.
It is.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Chelsea. We so appreciate it.
You're welcome, Gemma. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world if you could please share, rate, and review. Have an idea for a podcast topic or want to be our next guest? Get in touch through @theyachtstew on Instagram or send an email to hello@theyachtstew.com. And be sure to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode.